Sky Sports Radio. It's time to join Greg Radley, Ron Duffacy and Nick Ashman for our simulcast of Australia's favourite racing wrap, Thoroughbred Weekly.
Hello everyone, welcome to Thoroughbred Weekly on this Sunday morning after the Caulfield Cup and a big win by Jamaica, which we'll start the show with. Some other great SF runs down there in Melbourne, and in Sydney we had some star performers as well. Ron Duffacy.
G'day Greg. I think the whole day was about Nick Hall and Jamaica. 51.5 out of his comfort zone. He stayed focused. He rode the perfect race. She overraced a little, but a man on a mission, he got the mission done.
Yep, find 1,000 for his salute over the line. Yeah. Nick Ashman, we had some leftover material from the couch, and I see you put it on.
I don't know if I'm Lance Armstrong or Richie Benno.
Suits you. Don't let anyone tell you
been
different.
Been sitting on that rack for a couple of years now, too.
Mm. You know how many people have been wanting to wear that but haven't been game?
I should get time for wearing this.
Let's go straight to the Caulfield Cup and show you the race in its entirety. A lot to look at here, and we'll talk about it after we see it again. Here's the Caulfield Cup.
They're off. And Jamaica Articus began well. Sir Isaac Newton a little slow. And out wide, here's Tally away very quickly. Go Dreaming jump fast down towards the inside, but Tally scoots over from the outside stall, crossed and led at the post by 2 lengths. Preferment went up with him out wide on the course. Go Dreaming pulling right behind the leader, and Jamaica's on the speed with Real Love around the outside of her as they race out of the straight. Just behind these, Sir Isaac Newton, and they're followed then by moving up is Scottish around the outside, and then Sir John Hawkwood, Al Moonquit, followed by Articus, middle of the field, and then Exospheric racing on the outside of Our Ivanhoe, a length and a half to Sacred Master. Well back is Vonja Mask Pemberley, and the little engine is last of all in the Caulfield Cup, and Real Love is the leader. Out past the 1600, Real Love shows the way, a length in front of Preferment. Tally took the trail after negotiating the bottom turn, and Scottish have moved up fourth, and Jamaica gets a good run fifth for Nick Hall. At the 1400, a length and a half further back is Go Dreaming. Sir Isaac Newton next on the outside. They were being followed by Al Moonquith on the rail from Sir John Hawkwood, and Articus is trapped out three wide over the hill. They're followed by Our Ivanhoe as they put the 1200 behind them, and then came Exospheric, Vonja Mask, Sacred Master, the little engine, and Pemberley now last on the outside. Another change in the lead, and Scottish had run to the front 1,000 metres to go. So Karen McAvoy has Scottish in front 2 lengths from Real Love. 2 lengths away, Preferment. Outside of Tally now pulling. Next is Jamaica just wanting to get ahead up, and Sir Isaac Newton has been pulling, is allowed to go around the outside by Colm O'Donoghue. They're followed then by Articus trying to track him home. Behind those horses, Exospheric picking up some ground around the outside of Sir John Hawkwood. Go Dreaming is dropping out, then Al Moonquith, followed by Our Ivanhoe, and back behind them, Sacred Master. So they run to the home turn in the cup now. Scottish in front, Sir Isaac Newton straight up to second, and Jamaica right around the outside of these two is starting to run on well. Now here's the favourite, Real Love, trying to thread through, and next came Articus in the straight they race, and Scottish the leader, Jamaica coming out after him at the 200, and Hall sends the favourite to the lead. It's Jamaica drawing three quarters on Scottish, running on his Exospheric from the back, but it's Jamaica clear with 100 metres to go. She's going to romp it, and she's coming away, the favourite all too good for Nick Hall, and Jamaica won by 3 to Scottish. Exospheric ran third. Al Moonquith got home for fourth, and then Real Love. Our Ivanhoe, followed by the little engine and Vonja Mask. Back behind those to finish then, Sir Isaac Newton. Tally dropped out of it, and they're followed by Sir John Hawkwood. Preferment, Go Dreaming, Articus. Well back in the field then came Pemberley. Sacred Master, one of the last home in the Caulfield Cup. The favourite has dominated.
A history-making win. The only four-year-old mare to win the Caulfield Cup, having won the VRC Oaks.
Amazing.
Couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
It's a long history in both races.
And we've had Oaks winners like Arctic Scent and Ethereal come out of Queensland and do it, but no VRC Oaks winner. Well, what do you make of that? Might and Power won by 7.5. That's probably the easiest win since him.
Yeah, it was a dominant display, wasn't it? It was a lovely ride. We keep saying that, but it was. He drew the outside. He showed intent. He knew she only had a light weight. He tried to rest a mid-race. She got a little bit aggressive, you know, so little question marks on her settling in a Melbourne Cup, and also question marks on her pedigree, being by My Butch Boy Charlie out of a General at a Diem mare. But she's an Oaks winner. She's a Caulfield Cup winner. bring it on, I'd say. She's she's obviously got a chance in a Melbourne Cup, and the market will reflect that. Scottish Wood was probably a little unlucky. You know, he missed the start with that bunny hop at the start there, and then everyone sort of was going to concede the lead to him, but they're all looking for him, and he wasn't there. So he had to make that mid-race move. And I thought there was a lot of merit in his performance. Look, of the others, Exospheric, I thought it was good. He might be looking for a wet track, and his stablemate, Al Ivanhoe, was good. I'd say Lee would be calling to water the tracks now, just about that time of year.
Just about time.
There's a couple of runs in that race from long shots, Al Moonquist and Venga Mask, who I've never heard of. I think that Franks, that Bart Cummings form, what we thought was a weak race. So Al Mandan's win looks a little bit better to my eye after assessing that race, because they were both out of the Bart Cummings, and they were both not expected to perform there, and they did perform, and both should have finished much, much closer.
What does Greg Carpenter do? Does he go bang, whack?
Well, I think I read 52.5 is the highest weight carried by a mare completing the double, the Caulfield Melbourne Cup double. So she's on, I think she's got 52 at the moment. So any more than a half, she's going to have to break her.
Oh, she's got to get more than a half.
But a half kilo for that win, I don't think
she should get much more. I know that was dominant. I'm of the opinion she shouldn't. She got spanked by Hartnell in the Turnbull. He's got 55, I think, in the Melbourne Cup. So you'd think she needs to get at least 2 kilos off him, wouldn't you?
Well, that was the first thing a lot of people would have thought about after that win of Jamaica, the fact that Hartnell did thump her in the Turnbull.
Yes, exactly right. So, you know, that we'll never know.
Never know.
We'll never know what would have happened if he would have run in the Caulfield Cup. Yeah. But still, he's got a Cox Plate to worry about.
Those internationals, they're not going to the Melbourne Cup, are they?
Well, I wouldn't think Scottish would. They're saying he's, you know, he was suspect at 2,400. Exospheric will. I don't know about Sir Isaac Newton. I'd say he'd be more like the last day, that Longines, the McKinnon, the old McKinnon, the Emirates.
Actually, we've got to clarify this as early as possible. The McKinnon is now being called the Emirates.
I know, it's hard to...
The Emirates on the last day of the Carnival at 2,000 metres. That is the old McKinnon, and I think they are going to call it the Longines Mile. The old Emirates who goes to the first day.
Yeah, so
the miles... We're very confused now. People saying we're going to the Emirates.
I know.
They're actually going to the McKinnon.
Yeah.
I know. We've got to look after sponsors, but it's just too confusing.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
What's wrong with the Emirates McKinnon? Let's hear from the winning jock. As Duff said, he went through a lot of pain to get down to the weight, Nick Hall. It's his second Caulfield Cup win, having won on Faulkner. And this great young trainer, Kieran Maher.
Look, she's had a perfect preparation. She was great today.
Yeah, I've got to really thank Kieran Maher and the stable. It's a big operation. They've taken on a lot of horses. He's done an exceptional job, and he's just such a great trainer of campaign horses. And this goes to show the way he's prepped this, run by run, it's been to win this race, and he's won it.
Nick, it's been really tough for you. I know you've pulled up not ideal after sweating hard, 52.5. It really takes it out of you.
Yeah, it does, Sam, but it's all worth it.
A great win. She's a terrific mare.
Thanks, Sammy. Cheers, mate.
She's just been an outstanding horse. She won a two-year-old race taking on the boys. You know, we took on the boys in the Derby in the autumn. She's always shown that, you know, that's not a real issue for her. This prep, she's just gone to another level.
Take us through your emotions as you were watching the race unfold.
I was pretty calm, actually. Nick had her in a perfect spot, and he looked very confident all the way, so I was pretty calm.
Okay, let's go back to the home turn and just point out a few more as we have a look at the Caulfield Cup one more time. So around the home turn, Jamaica's about to let loose.
Yeah, she travelled well. She loomed at the right time after Scottish had done all that work there. And look, Exospheric was pretty good. He wants to hang in and not go straight, which is always a concern for me. You know, when you're talking Group 1 races, you've got to do everything right. And there's Al Moonquist charging home there, and our Ivanhoe, real love after leading, battles on okay. But all in all, it's just a complete domination. Worth $1,000. That was a $1,000 dead set, $1,000 celebration. That one worth every cent.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a beauty.
All right, well, the Caulfield Cup, Jamaica goes to the Melbourne Cup. We've got the Cox Plate coming up, of course, this Saturday. And later in the show, we'll have a look at a few feature races coming up.
Yeah, we will, Greg. We've got some footage of Winks and Hartnell working at Moonee Valley in the last few days. Interview with John O'Shea and James McDonald. McDonald talks about where he wants to be in the run to try and beat the mare. It's some real good material, yeah.
Geelong Cup coming up as well.
Yeah, we've got some stuff on Geelong Cup. Of course, Grey Line goes there. Trained by Matt Kumani. He's looking for his first runner in the Melbourne Cup. Of course, Matt's the son of Luca Kumani, outstanding trainer. Ran second in the 2007 Melbourne Cup with Purple Moon behind Efficient.
And Bauer
as well by nose. So.
All right, and a lot more to come. We'll have a look at all of Melbourne. We'll have a look at all of Sydney. That's still to come here on Thoroughbred Weekly.
We hope you are currently enjoying the programming, which is simulcast on Sky Thoroughbred Central and Sky Sports Radio. For more information, please visit skyracing.tv and click on the program tab.
Derby Racing, for the ultimate racing experience, turning your dreams into reality. Now on offer an outstanding speed filly by Boom Sire Schnitzel. Sire of 32 stakes winners, including Seamus Award, Schnitzeland, and our very own Time for War. This sharp-looking filly is closely related to stakes winner Excited Angel. To be trained by the First Lady of Racing, Gay Waterhouse, this stunning filly looks the ideal golden slipper prospect. Join the Group 1 winning syndicators. For more information, visit derbyracing.com.au for the ultimate racing experience.
They're looking for a data analyst. We want you on the team. Company car. With a car space.
With my name on it.
Let opportunity come to you. Seek profile. Update your profile today.
Tuesday, one-on-one.
The one thing about Australia, the future is bright. The roster that we've built up now, we believe is the best roster we've ever had.
What about American Pharoah?
American Pharoah would be hugely exciting to get down here.
The mining issue in the Hunter Valley, are the studs still under threat?
You know, it's amazing when you get in a bit of strife, how this industry actually gets behind you. I believe the government are going to see the right thing here.
One-on-one with Ray Thomas, 7:30 Tuesday.
Okay, welcome back. Let's go back to the first on the card at Caulfield. We're going to go through Caulfield in order, and the same with Sydney this morning, to give you an idea of how the track played throughout the day and how it changed. Let's go to the first. Three-year-old filly's doing battle here. We picked them up on the corner.
Yeah, not a bad filly, this. Jennifer Lynn, she was off a Coleraine win on a heavy track last start, but apparently it's been a strong form race. Typical Darren Weir improver, bred to stay. Looks a likely prospect. Petition was great. This is only her third start in a race, and she hits the line pretty good there. And look, Swampland battled on well. The story of the race was the favourite, and a very well fancied favourite in Sol Feed. Went to the front, apparently another big wind at Caulfield yesterday. Whether we can use that as an excuse, like considering her marketplace price, you'd have to say she was a touch disappointing, although she just worked to the front up the hill there and faced the breeze, but just left a sitting shot there at the finish. But the winner looks to be a progressive type and typical, like you say, these improving Darren Weir staying sort of types.
All right, let's hear from Blake Shin, who got the day off to a good start.
Yeah, look, we drew a little bit awkward, Sammy, but thankfully we're able to just blend across into a nice spot. And, you know, once we got in, it was pretty much smooth sailing. Damien got posted wide and went forward and generated a bit more pressure. And, yeah, once she got out, she really attacked the line nicely. She's building up a nice record. And Darren gave me a fair bit of confidence before the race. And, yeah, it's just great to win a race on Caulfield Cup Day for, you know, the biggest stable in Melbourne. It's a big thrill.
All right, let's move on now to the second of the day. Now, there's plenty to watch in blue here, Duff, as we go to the Gothic Stakes. Peacock wins, getting that charm run on the fence. Morton's Fork unlucky.
Yeah, Morton's Fork desperately unlucky, you'd have to say. But he was Johnny on the spot, Peacock, here. He was a good run at Flemington in his previous start when he was three deep, no cover, and faced the breeze, but got the perfect run yesterday. Look at Morton's Fork. Oh, and the white hat. If you're on him, you're crying. But he'll press on towards the I'd say the Carbine Club now, which is going to be one of the hottest races over the carnival there. Violate made a long sustained run there, was pretty good. Akator, reckon he was ridden upside down. He's a better horse ridden with a sit. I can see that they went slow and he had options to make, but he was definitely ridden upside down. He's a finisher, that horse. Don't sack him on one run there, but you'd think Morton Falk's got it all over him on that performance, but I'm not so sure. I think the winner will stay at 1400 and head to the Hilton on the Park, and Morton Falk, obviously, they'll progress to, and Akator will press, you know, they go to the Carbine Club and the Sandown Guineas. I'd say that's the usual thing for those types.
You're the Akator present fan club?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of him, yeah.
You think of him?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Duff's 100% right. He's much better when ridden with a sit. And if there was a bit of a breeze, and sort of adds a bit of merit. I know they went slowly, but he probably did a little bit more work than it looked like.
It's a messy race, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Messy race.
And I think Flemington getting back with cover, big long straight.
I had something on the winner. I could have kissed that O'Shea after. He gave it a nice push for it.
It's an O'Shea.
Yeah, it's hard to do, but when you're 20-1...
I will say, listening to you... That'll bring a smile to your face, Johnny. listening to John O'Shea on radio with you on any Saturday morning, he gives a very frank and succinct point of view of all his horses, whether he's pushing or saying, maybe not today... this isn't the race.
He gets it wrong now and again, but he gets it right. He got it right yesterday. Yeah. It was 20-1, that horse. And Morton Swog, he said, oh, you know, I just think this horse, the 1400, this is his grand, more or less his grand final. The other horse just might be looking for a little bit further. Look, I can see with a bit of luck, Morton Swog would have beat him, but he got it right.
Here's Dwayne Dunn, the winning jock.
Dwayne Dunn, box seat, beautiful ride in the race, and nice to get covered up by the wind.
Yeah, it's very strong down the side there, Sammy, and it's getting it smashing us quite badly, so if you can get out of it, it's a big help, and he was able to sprint quickly when I needed him at the top of the straight.
He's a good style of horse. This John O'Shea's horses are flying.
Yeah, they absolutely are. Watching his replay the other day, just looked like he ran out of gas and he needed that run, so to back up in today, we're pretty confident he'd run well.
And going out of today into a longer race is going to be a nice ride.
Yeah, absolutely. He does everything professionally, executed nicely, and turned out brilliantly by Godolphin.
All of our interviews out of Melbourne, of course, courtesy of Channel 7. Let's go to some more Sydney form. Matthew Smith sent Palazzo Publico down to Melbourne.
Yeah, and probably in retrospect went around way over the odds, considering, you know, she was nice and fresh and she'd trialled well, and Matty's such a great placer of his horses. She just minded her own business back in the field. She had a bit of work to do. And she came with an enormous finish here. I thought it was an excellent performance. GNC, she was Johnny on the spot, well ridden. Comes out of midweek Sydney form and gets her black type well done with that bit of placement as well. Lucinari, another Godolphin horse that was probably a little bit unlucky, just got held up in the turn and finishes off well.
Stephen Arnold just kept Brenton in a pocket.
He
wasn't going to let him out. When Brenton was looking for that run, Stephen Arnold said, in you go. You're not going anywhere.
You'll see a bit of shuffling here. These two horses back in the field here, it was Hugh Bowman and Kieran McAvoy. All they did was just fight each other for the whole 1,100 metres of this race. Kieran didn't want to go the rail.
They're still at it.
And they're still at it. And I reckon there might have been a few words there. You know, Flippin got galloped on both hind legs, so this might be some... She's better than that.
Yes.
Like she... We know the Sydney form, and she's better than those first couple. Well, I'm suggesting she is.
First and second, Sydney, SF.
Yeah, SF. 150-1 Quinella in Melbourne, tote.
150.
70 here. We woke up.
Stephen Arnold's the winning jockey.
Stevie Arnold, great to see you in the winner's circle on Caulfield Cup Day today. And Palazzo Publico, was important that you came back and got cover today.
Yeah, she was quite fresh, even going to the stalls. And I just thought, oh, it's critical to get a bit of cover and just save her for one burst because he's first up. She's been trolling really well in Sydney, so I was confident if I could get a bit of cover, she'd sprint well.
And she's a real powerhouse, so she's been really well placed throughout her career. She's got a great record.
Yeah, had a chat to Matthew, well done to him. Brought her down, and she's obviously good fresh. And as I say, she's been trialling really well, and she's sprinted quickly.
I think there's a race for her on Derby Day, that 1,100 mares race down the straight. I think Begonia
Bell
or something. No, Begonia Bell, I think. They changed the names.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's probably called the Longines.
No, just wait for them to come up in the form. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have a look at the three-year-old stayers, the girls and the boys. Stay with us on Thoroughbred Weekly.
say see you later to expensive car insurance. And hello to Allianz.
Allianz Insurance, that's right. Our comprehensive car insurance prices are among the lowest for drivers ever there.
Allianz, because great value matters. The new Kia Cerato comes with Australia's only 7-year warranty and a stunning new design inside and out across the range. It starts with the Cerato S from just $19,990. Drive away with free auto.
Cat Creature from Agent Turner.
Turner's been arrested.
My men were shot.
He's been set up.
I don't want them as bad as you. I want them more.
He's not feeling well. You might want to use this one.
Cat Creature.
Let opportunity come to you. Seek Profile. Update your profile today.
Hi, it's Jamie Rogers and I'm here with another special edition of On The Lounge with the tipsters on their winning ways. Gary Chris, Dominic Byrne and Tony Brassel. The punting pioneers, they show us the work they do to find a winner for you. We're on the lounge, only on Sky Thoroughbred Central.
Fillies on an Oaks path went round in the Ethereal yesterday. Let's go to the vision of this race. This was a Group 3 over 2,000 metres. And Savannah had been working to this point, though.
Yeah, she had. Hers was an excellent run. She just got to learn a bit more race sense. But, geez, Ollie made up for their last ride on this filly where nothing went right. It was just a perfect ride on this Kiwi, Eleonora. Yeah, look, she laid her cards down for the Oaks. She was strong enough and did a good job. Like I said, I thought Savannah was good.
Tiamo Grace
was desperately unlucky. Have a look at her in the Darren Weir colours there, just switching course, and it gets even worse after, or maybe a bit before that, but she's had no luck at all, and you've got to like the way she savaged the line for an inexperienced sort of filly, and I'd suggest she's a big firmer for the VRC Oaks, there's no doubt about it. But the winner's good, was well ridden, but on face value you'd have to say the second filly unlucky, and the third filly legitimate excuses after working and just not settling as well as expected.
And Camille?
Yeah, Camille just battling down the outside. It was a real mile and a half.
Didn't get out until probably too late.
Whacked away. Very one pace.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear from the winning jockeys. Ollie.
Damien Oliver, the New Zealand Bloodstock Ethereal Stakes. Great to see a Kiwi. Fitting that a Kiwi takes it out.
Yes, Sam, and she's a granddaughter of Ethereal, so very ironic that she wins the Ethereal.
And she looks like her running a trip's going to be no problem for her off what she did today.
Not at all, Sammy. Nice to ride one by that trained by Murray Baker and Andrew Ford, and they've done a great job with him. And I must say, his foreman Joe has done really good here as well, so she looks great going towards the Oaks.
In this sort of wind today, and obviously you get out to the 10 furlongs, it's important that they rest for that first half of the race.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a big advantage you can get some cover coming down the side.
All right, let's go to the Oaks market and see how much it's changed. We've got a bit to go yet. Here's the Oaks market on tab.com.au. Yankee Rose, of course, goes to the Cox Plate, is the favourite. Eleanor is there at $7, Tiamo Grace. So they're both $7 on the strength of their runs yesterday.
Impossible at this stage. We're not going to know what's going to happen in this race until, I'd say, after the Wakeful. It's, it's all about timing this race. And once we, have another look at a few, the class angle is Yankee Rose, but Who knows? Let's have a see what happens in the Cox Plate with her.
Well, that's the girls over 2,000. Let's go to the boys now. Some of these on a derby path. Is the winner on a derby path? Not sure. Good standing. We pick them up around the home turn. And this, how far away from the finish was this over?
It was over about 200 metres after the start when he just elected. Look, it got to the stage of the day, I'm surprised it got to this stage, where these blokes, they get it in their head that the wind, and they start riding the wind and not the race. And this horse just says, oh, you're kidding, I'm going three-quarter pacey, don't worry about the wind. Had a class edge, good effort on a backup. I think they're thinking of maybe running him in the Longines.
The Mile.
No.
No, the 2000.
The 2000.
Oh, the McKinnon.
The McKinnon.
The Emirates.
The Emirates.
Yes, the Emirates McKinnon.
The Emirates. Over 2000.
Yeah,
2 million.
Just in a little interview with James.
I'm lost.
I think they're, you know, thinking about that. Look, but the class angle of the, obviously, the Caulfield Guineas form stacked up okay there. Look, the Stayers just whacked away. I thought Inference was the best Derby trial in the race. He was green. He got buffeted around and still finished off. I thought it was a pretty good Derby trial. Beach Life made a long sustained run and was pretty good as well, but too much class the winner, and they actually gifted it to him.
All right, let's hear from Blake Shin.
He gave me a great ride. Pretty much just ambled to the front. Ideally, with this wind out here today, didn't want to lead, but, you know, it just got gifted it, and was pretty much happy to rate him there. Knew I was on the best horse in the race. I had confidence that I could lead into this headwind and dictate the tempo to myself. And at the 600, I had left for a horse. He's got a great turn of foot, this galloper. He's mixed it with the best three-year-olds around, and with even luck today, he was going to be too good, and he proved that. And now it's great to get the opportunity for James Cummings and his wife Monica and Mr. Cuenco. So big day here today to ride a winner for him. It's very special.
And you talk of that turn of foot, Blake. That's what the good horses need to have. And this horse got a good break on them into the straight, a couple of lengths.
Yeah, that's what won in the race, Sammy. And he's a striking individual. He's a great cut of a horse, and yeah, I think he's going to... I know today was worth a fair bit of money. He beat some nice staying tight, but he's going to mix it with some the best around when he turns into the autumn, this horse, I think.
All right, wherever he's going, we'll find out later. Let's have a look at the Derby market for what it's worth right now. Here it is after yesterday's race, Rocketeer.
Mm.
So this is the horse you like, Sosibon.
Yeah, I do. I'm a little bit worried about his attitude. When he went into the barriers the other day, roaring like a colt and things like that. But I thought it was a good trial in the Guineas, and that was frankly that form with good standing yesterday. There's no doubt about it. They've reacted to the Inference run yesterday. Yeah, a little bit of water to go under the bridge there. Sacred Elixir will be much better at Flemington. Yeah, I've got no real firm opinion there yet.
Okay, that was SF, Sydney form.
Yep.
Here's another one. Let's go to the Coonji. Vanbrugh found winning form yesterday.
Yeah, well, he was set up nicely, though. He'd needed a few runs, and they ran him in the Epsom, and finally up to his right distance at 2,000 metres with the right run, and he was too good. Tom Melbourne showed a lot more guts yesterday. He's been... He's his own worst enemy. He doesn't settle and does things wrong, but he fought particularly well after doing work. Now, it's somewhat... I don't think it went according to script as far as the map's concerned there. Everyone sort of had him third defence, and I think most people, and including myself, were very critical of Bowman's not holding that position. But after going home and having two or three more looks at this race, I would say he had a go of trying to keep that position on the rails, but he just couldn't. He'd give him a dig, and the last thing he wanted to happen was that 200-to-1 thing crossing him. But I don't think he could have helped it. I want to be a little bit forgiving for Bowman there.
Yeah, they scorched early. I had a look at the sectional.
Okay, well, that's why.
They've gone very fast.
Well, how did Vanbrugh land in the 1-1 when he hasn't got any speed? That's what put us in a bit of doubt there. In a mapping...
Well, let's go back to the start and see how it panned out. Let's go back to the start of the Coonji, and we'll keep an eye on it somewhat, and where Vanbrugh lobs as well, coming up right now. Here we go. Rolling Tape.
Now, you watch Bowman here, you know, you think, oh, well, he's waiting for the cleaner and Tom Melbourne to come up. And then this 200-to-1 chances in the pink is trying to cross him here, and I thought, don't let him cross. But look, he does give a dig here, and he's trying. He sees them coming, and he doesn't really concede. And then all of a sudden, the pressure comes. And
well, he's seen Tom Melbourne going forward, and he thought, well, hang on, here comes a new addition to this.
They're all coming.
I might just take a sit here.
It was Rose of Virginia, that long shot, who actually fought on pretty well for fourth spot, but he just seemed to be off the bit from here on in.
All right, we're going to hear from the winning jockey, Ben Millam. Winning trainer was Chris Waller, but here's the winning jock, Ben Millam.
It's a little bit sticky out of the barriers the other day. Today he broke well, and I was able to ride him into a nice spot. I sort of had it somewhat back to my inside where I sort of wanted it, and shoveled really well throughout the run. I just sort of crept before the corner, let him balance up again, and he was really strong the line.
And he was just ready to chime into the race at the right time. I mean, by the time you came around the turn, you were in the perfect spot, but you knew you had plenty there.
Yeah, correct. I just had such a nice run throughout, and he's a good, honest horse. He's put a couple of good runs together now. He dropped in weight today, and he looks sort of hard to beat on paper and prove right.
All right, that's the Kurnji. When we come back, the last three races that we'll look at out of Melbourne, three more features still to come.
We hope you are currently enjoying the programming, which is simulcast on Sky Thoroughbred Central and Sky Sports Radio. For more information, please visit skyracing.tv and click on the program tab.
You know, I've been thinking, and I just don't think it's going to work out. Oh, we've been here before, North League.
I think we should end it. Let's cash out of this quaddy.
Now, avoid the quaddy killer. Cash out early with Tab.
The new Kia Cerato comes with Australia's only 7-year warranty and a stunning new design inside and out across the range. It starts with the Cerato S from just $19,990. Drive away with free auto.
Tuesday, one-on-one.
The one thing about Australia, the future is bright. The roster that we've built up now, we believe is the best roster we've ever had.
What about American Pharoah?
American Pharoah would be hugely exciting to get down here.
The mining issue in the Hunter Valley, are the studs still under threat?
You know, it's amazing when you get in a bit of strife, how this industry actually gets behind you. I believe the government are going to see the right thing here.
One-on-one with Ray Thomas, 7:30 Tuesday.
Okay, let's go to the Tristark Stakes. When they met in the Golden Pendant, First Seal, $2.80 favourite, Tycoon Tara, $4.80.
Yeah, well, there you go. And why did this get... I know it's after the event, but why did this get to $7.50? She's a class mare, and I wanted to be totally forgiving for her first up run when John Thompson, I've never seen him so confident, but it just didn't turn into her race last time, where this did. She found the, you know, a nice trailing position. She launched. She's a quality mare when right, and that'll top her off beautifully for the Mire. Is it still the Mire?
Yes.
That's good to know. Yes. So it's going to be a really competitive mare's race, the Mire, and she's a quality act and performed well yesterday. Look, Tycoon Tara, she was brave again. I read that she may go to the paddock now. Pearls did what she does. She's honest. It just lacks the quality of the winner. Den Magic wants a faster run race. I know she had the run of the race there, but she's better off in a fast race where she can rattle off a sectional late. Danish Twist was the run of the race. She got back, had too much to do. She's only second up. She's not ready. She keeps just jumping the bar, that mare. I don't know how she does it, but she just gets better and better, no matter what class.
What's she going to?
Well, who knows? I don't know if she gets into a Mire or not, but Chris will find her. There'll be a few options for her. Shillelagh. If we can just go back
and watch this again.
I thought Purton was going to end up back in Hong Kong here when he got put through the fence again. But there was never a run there. I think he was anticipating a run on Shillelagh, and, you know, it didn't happen. So a good performance from the winner, and she's a beauty. So you'll see Shillelagh there back midfield on the fence there in the yellow sleeves and green. But if we get to the point of the turn, you'll see... see what happened there. But he's following Den Magic, who's third on the rail. And look, first 5 across the line, that's that Sydney form again. But I think that was expected in this race.
In whatever order.
Yeah, exactly. But
well, there's no doubt what the Snodes have done with Tycoon Tara to win those three feature races in Sydney and then go to Melbourne. And if that is the end of a prep, well, job well done.
Yeah, for sure. And you'll see this incident coming up on the point of the turn. Actually, this shillelagh might have been figuring in the finisher, to tell you the truth. It was travelling beautifully. It had come off a win where it had come from last in a slowly run race, so it could be one to watch as far as the next race is concerned. Look at her here where she anticipates a run inside
White
Jam
cap,
Magic.
Yellow sleeves.
And she looks like she's got something to offer, and bang. Oy. And so, obviously, a total forgive run from that that filly or mare.
All right, first seal, too good for Tycoon Tara Pearls. Let's go to the interviews now, and we hear from Blake Shin, and we also hear from John Thompson.
You know, I've rode her pretty much a whole career, and we were left a little bit deflated first up, but we knew she had excuses, genuine excuses, through the tempo, and she came here today a little bit fitter, looked immaculate and was presented in great order, and obviously with that wind, it was going to, down the side, it was going to unsuit Tycoon Tara, which beat her last time, and we just got a lovely trail into it. She was back to her best today. She showed a lethal turn of foot and really attacked the line, and I'm sure John Thompson will get a real kick out of that. He's puts a lot of time and effort into her. She's very special to him and to me and everyone involved. So, yeah, it's a great result.
You know, I was a little bit shocked first up. You know, I thought she was a bit more forward than what she was, but obviously the hard fit mares, you know, beat us on that day, the funny sort of run race. She did loom to do something, but the condition gave out. But she's a lovely mare, you know, Group 1 winner, and she's the best horse in the race. She just needed to handle Caulfield. You know, she wobbled a little bit around the corner, but the class prevailed.
How much improvement, fitness-wise, do you feel she'll take out of this run?
Just looking at her there, she's having a good blow, and she's been aimed at the mire, so, you know, I'm sure Flemington will suit her better, and looking forward to it.
Well done, first seal. Let's go to the Caulfield sprint now. This is the second last race of the day. The Rockhampton Rocket. Where is he? Back last.
Wow. Who expected that?
Our boy Malachi.
Ridden by Baster in the straight now and moving up Fartanar Lankin Rupee. The gap's not quite big enough for him there. Fartanar Lankin Rupee can't get through now. The gap's open. Is it good enough? Here's our boy Malachi starting to fly home though. He swamps him on the outside. Our boy Malachi got to the lead, and our boy Malachi from last beat Fartanar and Lankin Rupee. Close go for fourth. Aruhu's up there with Wild Rain, who was flat a long way from home. And then Rudiger and Vidora down on the rails. Dropping out next was Take Pride, and last to finish is Sunday Escape.
Well, the race was thrown into turmoil when Hellbent come out.
Yeah.
It came out well before the quaddy started, so you could go again, but a lot of people were anchoring Hellbent. Now, before we get to our boy Malachi, and we'll speak about him, what happened with Hellbent?
Well, I don't know. Just reading between the lines, Darren Weir wasn't very happy. He, you know, he's a colt, Hellbent, and he obviously had a stall each side of him, and he's a horse that kicks the back of the stalls or something. And then the international arrived, and everyone had to part the pearly gates for them. They're going to have free stalls between each of them.
Poor old Hellbent got turfed, taken out of his box, put somewhere else, and that's when he's lashed out.
Yes. I'd hate to be sitting next to that Harry Mitchell on the plane on the way home there. Mm. He'd be nice and cranky.
The only person
the best of times.
What about that? Kurt Goldman might have had a little chuckle, though, because he just won the race with Eckstein at Randwick, and then Hellbent came out because it was the train Hellbent. So.
Yeah. Anyway, they had a good day, Yarram. I'm invincible and
yeah, I'm not.
They had seven winners.
That's exactly right. The stallions are going
he's still
well.
Be cranky.
So Hellbent was scratched, and our boy Malachi. Now he was back last. He came with his withering burst down the outside. Normally we see him up the front and dashing away from them. A new string to his bow yesterday.
Yeah, well, actually, first up there, I was surprised he went back a little bit there and sort of come with a big sprint at them before knocking up. So maybe that is another string to his bow. And he was lethal. He actually embarrassed those horses late.
I think that's what we thought Hellbent was going to do. And we had that slight concern that he was 1,100 back to 1,000.
That's right.
We thought, is he going to get out of his ground? Watching our boy Malachi, yes, that was outstanding.
He was. It's
What about Lankin Rupee? I noticed Mick Price wasn't. If he's confident of one, he'll let you know in an interview. And he just didn't have that about Lankin Rupee yesterday. Although he did run well.
He ran well. He got held up in the point of the turn. Wouldn't have troubled the winner, but a nice return from him with a big weight. Mm. So I'd say that he would have got more than a pass mark considering the circumstances leading into that race.
And you've got to be put in perspective as well. He's obviously saddled up Lankum Rupee when he was at the peak of his powers, and he's probably not going as good, and maybe that's why he's not so bullish, but he's still going very good in comparison. Yeah. Mm.
All right, let's hear from another Dwayne Dunn winner and also Wayne Hawkes.
Just in sensational form.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been a great carnival so far, Sammy, and you know, it's a credit to Team Hawks and the rest of the family back home, and everyone does the hard yards and presents us with horses like this, and good to see the old Rock Anthem Rocket come to the races today.
This horse is getting a bit long in the tooth, but gee, he hasn't lost his zest for racing.
Oh, definitely not. He gave Chautauqua something to chase there in the TJ in Sydney, and he ran super up there the other day. It was just always going to be a bit sticky from the barrier because we drew wide, and once again, I didn't break that well, so I rode him a bit patiently today, and, you know, he finished off beautifully. So, you know, it's all credit. The horses don't win this many in a row if they're no good, and, you know, it's a credit to whoever had him before. Team Hawks got their hands on him and presented him to us in such good form.
I mean, for him to do what he's done for an eight-year-old gelding, it's that's as good a win as we're going to have over the spring carnival, that's for sure. So, he came down from Rockhampton, not a broken horse, and his record was something like, you know, 14 starts, 12 wins, and normally when you get them at that stage, they're past their best. But he's an eight-year-old. He's only come to Melbourne last was a Friday morning, so he's done a great job. And Dwayne really summed it up. He just sat back off them, and I didn't think they went overly hard, so after going a couple hundred metres, I wasn't sure whether that was a good spot or a bad spot, and he just didn't panic around the corner, saved it. And you know, I don't get up and about too often, but I did at the furlong, that's for sure.
What's the secret to his success?
He's a winner. You don't make excuses for a winner. We bullshit about the rest, but the end result is winners are winners and they want to win.
Yeah, and look, well done to John O'Singh too, who used to train the horse. Yeah. And I know, I've seen him follow this horse around too. He'll pop up at a meeting to cheer him on.
You can see he's a stable pet with the boys and, yep, and John as well. I think they've got a real soft spot for that horse to do what he's done. He's incredible. I think it was his 19 wins or something. It's incredible.
Great story. Let's go to the last. This is the Moonga Stakes, 1,400 metres. And when we picked them up, Voodoo Lad is about to let go. He hadn't let go yet.
He's a beauty, isn't he? Darren's done a great job with him. Well, he's had a fair few runs now, this preparation. Little query on him at the 1,400 going into that race yesterday, but no queries coming out of it. He sprinted quickly. Look, I thought it was a terrible ride on takedown by Shin. I know he had a good day, but that wasn't smart, surely. This horse is a real grinding one pacer, and I got no doubts with him at 1,400 metres. That fancy letting a horse like Good Project lead you. He would have handed up just with one dig in the ribs. I know the winner won easily, but if that would have got into a fight with him just chipping away in the lead and quickening off the bend, I reckon takedown would have made that race very, very interesting. I reckon that was the one that got away.
Yeah, when Voodoo Lad goes to takedown and he's in front rolling,
he'll just pin. He'll
that's
pin,
right.
He'll pin the head, he's down. And he would have went a little bit quicker. He would have rolled and just took a bit of sting out of Voodoo Lad. I reckon they wish they had that race over again. But anyway, he's going well takedown. He's a beauty.
He went round in the heat of the country championships and was beaten at Tamworth, Voodoo Lad, in that... first series, I think there was Taran Gower and Voodoo Lad and Art Lee was in that first heat.
Ended up winning, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, and here he is still going great. Let's hear from the winning jock and also the winning trainer.
I mean, he was just a class above today.
Yeah, exactly right, Sam. I mean, he second in Group 1 last start. I mean, he's in a Group 3 race today. Come here thinking that, and he won exactly that way. He's a good horse.
Three deep with cover. You were happy throughout the run?
Oh, I was, but I wasn't, because, geez, I was going steady. And sort of down the side of the wind, he started and really wanted to go, and I just, hang on, buddy, we're not ready yet. Long way home. But then when I started to move on him, just too good. Just simply too good.
Look, he's been a happy horse for quite a while now, and we just keep the routine the same with him. Jared looks after him. They just poke around with him down the beach, which he really, really suits him, and take him away and give him a gallop or a trial before he races. And it just really suits. And the horse is in great form, and can't see why he won't continue to be in great form.
He went so close in the Sir Rupert Clarke Group 1 level here a couple of weeks back. Are you going to have another crack at the big Group 1?
Well, I'd like to have he deserves to have another crack at a Group 1, I think. He was probably a little... You know, there's always hard luck stories in racings, but he probably was a little unlucky in the Rupert Clarke. He should have finished a bit closer. So, yeah, I'd like to have another crack at a Group 1 with him somewhere.
All right, now, that's where we leave Melbourne. Have you sorted everything out? You've got Yeah, Cox Plate Day sorted out, Derby Day to where we are at the moment.
Placed a few more. Over the weekend. Yeah. We'll back plenty of winners. Derby Day, Cup Day and Oaks Day. Mm. There's no doubt about it.
Any trainers want to ring, ring Duff for advice.
I've got the calendar there. I'm dropping their names down.
Yeah. Okay.
Keep yourself in the best company and your horses in the worst.
That's exactly right. Some very good performances, but we've highlighted a stack of unlucky runners there yesterday. There was more than half a dozen.
Well, another win-related day where they're hard to read, aren't they? But... I think there's winners. Obviously going to be winners coming out of that meeting.
When we come back, we'll look at the entire Sydney program from Royal Randwick on Tax Day. That's after a break.
The Harvey Norman, dazzling $1 deal. Purchase a Beautyrest Queen or King mattress and standard base, and for $1 more, upgrade to a Relax 2100 adjustable base, valued at up to $1,049. That's right. Treat yourself to the luxury of a Beautyrest mattress and base, featuring pocketed coil technology. And for $1 more, upgrade to this adjustable base, valued at up to $1,049. But hurry. The Harvey Norman dazzling $1 deal ends Monday. Go!
Race the best with the best. Dynamic Syndications, in alliance with Gerald Ryan, offer a precocious filly by Australia's leading second-season sire, Fox Wedge. The highest-ever rated son of Fastnet Rock from Undercover. Dam of 6 winners and related to 57 stakes horses, including Polar Success, Ain't Seen Nothing, Bring Me the Maid and Backman. Race this high-quality filly with the Dynamic Gerald Ryan team. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999.
This is an open letter to any fan of Australian rugby. The win, how much do you want it? Do you want it more than sleep? More than pretty ears? More than a cold dip? For your lunch? No. If you really want it, pull on the gold.
Welcome back. Duff, another good track at Royal Randwick, another fair track at Royal Randwick.
Yeah, look, good dry tracks. We're not getting any much watering at this time of year, and the favourites just keep rolling in. The punters are happy. Horses are running to form.
Yep.
This watering of track's overrated.
Yeah, don't water.
Yeah, we won good threes every week.
Here we go. First race of the day, Victory Vane. Well, Chris Waller had one with Louisa. And that was his earliest winner ever for a two-year-old winner. And he's backed it up immediately with Madame Moustache.
Yeah, and she, I think, having had a run under her belt, really helped her over the concluding stages here. Maybe Darhad's a better horse. You know, he was having his first start. He wanted to wander out a little bit there, and he over-raced outside the favourite early. And he just felt the pinch the last two or three strides there. But I'd say that race just comes down to race experience. She's a nice filly, got the job done. I don't think we're talking gold slipper form or anything like that. Good fella. They were supposed to ride him a little bit closer. he was a mile back after missing the start. He's going to make a three-year-old, I think.
He's got to go back to the trials as well. They've ordered him to trial.
All right. Well, let's hear from Cathy O'Hara, who picked up the win, and also Chris Waller's foreman, Charlie Duckworth, who was on hand yesterday. They had a good day, the Waller camp, and they started off well. Here's Charlie.
She was gone.
She was. She had to dig very deep to fight back, but that's where race experience is just absolutely priceless. I think that was the difference between winning and losing today, having that first start. But she's done a tremendous job beating the colts, so, yeah, very happy.
You've seen that improvement from the first start to today, track work and in the stables?
Yeah, we have. She's obviously a very fit horse. She's had two starts now and a couple of trials, which isn't the norm for our horses, as you know, but she's taken natural improvement, and she's just tough and honest.
You were gone.
Yeah, look, she's a tenacious little thing. I guess that's the benefit of race experience and race fitness for her. The other horse was, having his first run, so it paid in the finish, I think.
And you could feel her starting to respond when that other horse got in front of her?
Look, he put a head in front of me, but he didn't get any further away, so when she wanted to kick and have a fight, I knew she was going to be tough to beat, because she was really wanting to win, which is a good sign. Probably with that run the other day, maybe 1,000 metres might have been a touch short for her today, but it's a really good effort.
Okay, always interesting to see what the beaten jockeys had to say with these two-year-olds and how they're progressing. So let's go to the jocks who were behind Cathy O'Hara, and here they are.
I had Josh Parr.
A lovely little horse. He just outdone by one with a little bit of race experience, but lovely horse going forward.
Mitchell Bell, Ibanez.
Very nice run. Lani approved off there. I think she's going to have a run in the fortnight, but she'll be a better filly next time.
Jay Ford, Pricing Power.
Yeah, nice enough debut. She'll just continue to improve with experience.
Jason Collett, Goodfella.
That wasn't ideal. Just read as the gates open. He read before they opened, and then we had him right, and then he read again, and just lost all chance.
Kobe Jennings, Mahal.
I think that was still pretty good for him. He behaved well, and I think that was really the main thing. He just knocked up.
Matt McGill, very appetising.
It was just a bit unfair. Still got a lot to learn.
All right, let's go to race number two, shortest price favourite of the day, Fabrizio, that tearaway leader in the Epsom who compounded, but yesterday Josh Parr, even though, and he says this in the interview, he tried to fight him, he's such a hard horse to ride, Josh was able to manage the sections bit by bit.
Yeah, it was a lot better there yesterday, and probably he had more confidence in the horse to let him do that because there was no chases yesterday. So he knew they were all going to concede with him. When he sprinted here, it's all over and an absolute procession. Iggy Pop did go really well first up with a big weight there at a mile. So he's come up well. He'll be competitive when he gets to 2,000 plus. The winner, there's talk that he may freshen up for the Villiers. There's talk that there might be something for him in Melbourne. He's had a few hard runs now. He's right at the top of his game. Whether he's got upside, I don't know, but there's no doubting his talent.
Okay. Let's go back to form line on Thursday night. Nick Ashman produces Iggy Pop at 70-1. Tips it on top.
Yep.
What? What's going on?
Exactly.
But then later in the show, he made Fabrizio the lay.
He should have the Quinella, but he had the other Quinella.
Well, the thought process was either Fabrizio comes out and just wins as he did, or he's flat, he's stuffed, that Epsom thing took it right out of him, in which case I just wanted to be on Iggy. I don't like Torgerson as a horse. I mean, I like him as a horse, but he just doesn't win enough for my liking. Iggy Pop's got a little bit more to him. I just thought he was the fresh horse on the scene.
It was worth a throw at the stumps.
And he was 71, then 41, then 21. Followers.
There's 15 to place.
Winning jock is, Adrian Bott, the co-trainer with Gay, and also Josh Parr, the winning rider.
Yeah, it was a lovely measured run today. He got into a lovely rhythm. He's got such a lovely big stride to him, and we saw that today, and he was nice and relaxed, and Josh allowed him to get into that rhythm throughout, and it was a lovely result.
So what is next for Fabrizio?
Look, we'll have a think about that tonight and tomorrow. He's got the option to freshen up for a race like the Villiers or potentially take him straight down to Melbourne. I think there's a couple of nice races for him down there, and he should be able to measure up.
I tell you what, there's nothing easy about this horse. He has you working from the time you're on him. I think I'm pretty fit, but he has me. I'm having a blow.
Okay. He wanted to just go that touch quicker, did he?
Yeah, the first two furlongs of the race, he was quite nice. I just leaned on his neck and he found a nice rhythm. And we got down by the 1,000 and it was a different story. It was just game on. I'm not sure if he had last start in his mind or not, but yeah, it was game on from there. And I tried my best to nurse him from the 1,000 to the 400 and class prevailed when I let him down.
Okay, he ended up winning the jockey challenge.
Yeah, he won the jockey challenge, which is real good to see with Josh because he had that long layoff with his hip injury, wasn't it? So he's come back. That's his first jockey challenge win on a metro track. So,
I don't like patting jockeys on the back for winning the jockeys challenge because they can be on 8 favourites, get beat on them all, and win the jockeys challenge. Mm. But I'm not pagging Josh. He's done a good job to get back. But
grumpy, so he's just.
Yeah, I know.
Yesterday,
when you gave me a bit of a rap there with Iggy Pop, he said, no.
Well done, Nick.
Well done, keep you in line. You know, you're a popular young bloke. You'll be popular down the beer garden today with that jacket on. Hit the lunch there. Double bay or something.
He's too good, isn't he? He's just too good.
Let's go.
It doesn't matter what I say, this.
No. Do you want to be on the show or not?
I feel like I shitted half a kilo off my claim there yesterday. Went from a 3 kilo claim to 2.5.
You're only getting to 2.5.
Yeah, there we go. He put the extra half back on then, I reckon.
Race number three. Here's another favourite, successful Bezel from the Godolphin team. When we picked them up, Here's Bezel.
Yeah, he's a nice horse, isn't he? You know, a narrow but a convincing win. Let's face it, he'd only won two races on the Beaumont track and he'd lifted up to 61 kilos here. You're not going to blow them away with acceleration, but it was a good grinding win. You can make a little excuse that this second filly was unlucky, Alliterate. She just wanted to wander there and had to straighten back up. She just lost a stride or two and lost a little bit of momentum. It's amazing how she's gone from 1,200 to a mile in the past two starts and found some form. So she's had a bit of a long preparation now. I don't know what Pat's thinking of doing with her, but Bezel will probably go to Melbourne and be part of this make-up of this
Carbine Club.
Yeah, it's going to be a really competitive race, but he's probably earned his spot in the race.
Are you convinced he definitely gets a mile after that?
Good question.
I'm still not convinced.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I can back a couple to beat him in that race.
Well, Godolphin, what have they got? They've got this horse, they've got Morton's Fork going there.
Yeah.
The three-year-old races on Derby Day, the Coolmore and the Carbine Club, they're going to be nutcrackers.
They're highlights. Yeah. Absolute highlights.
Darren Beeman was on board yesterday for Godolphin in Sydney, and the winning jock was Tim Clark.
You've only got a win by a head.
Oh, I took all the Strait of Randwick for him to do it, but like, he had a big weight, and they went along at a good speed, so they made him carry his weight. But he's, as we said before the race, he's a good stalker, and he really knows how to find the line.
Tim Clark put him into the race nicely.
He did. He got a nice drag up into the race from the 600 and then popped off their backs. But, look, he's a lovely colt. As I said, he's pleased us from day one, and he just keeps ticking all the boxes. Every time John's raised the bar, he's jumped it.
He done a good job. He was up in trip, up in class, up in weight. He tucked it out well.
All right, so it took you a while to get there, but there was plenty of merit in it.
Yeah, Dad said not to hit the front too soon on him. He's a better chaser, so just made sure I got in the front where it counted.
Well, you rode it perfect then.
Yeah, no, he's only lightly raced. Still learning what it's all about. Said it was a good effort to win today. He didn't have... No, things in his favour, and he was still able to win, so it's a good sign.
What about Top Cat?
Yeah.
Oh, not to hit the front too early, so just timed it to perfection.
Don't disobey Daz.
I got there at the right time.
Yeah. Here are the jockeys who finished behind Tim Clark after the race.
Kobe Jennings, Alliterate.
She's run enormous. Loved it out there in front. She got a bit lost in her legs when I went at her, but she fought on. It was a good run.
Josh Parr, Hesladin.
Nice effort. The winner had a superior turn of foot to me, but was only able to beat me a short margin. He toughed it out well.
Glenn Schofield, Cross Stitch.
Oh, look, she had every chance from where she was. She didn't find the finish that I needed with her today. She's probably looking for more ground now.
Rory Hutchings, Power Law.
Yeah, I thought a little bit ordinary on face value. They ran long enough to set it up for him. Got held up. I thought when I get out, he's really going to sprint, but he just whacked the one speed.
Ty England, Earth.
Yeah, he was disappointing. Followed the winner. Peeled off his back on straightening, feeling like I had somewhat of a horse to put in some sort of challenge, but I just don't think he's putting in 100%.
Christian Reith, Bring Me the Bling.
Settled nice. I thought she'd just attack the line a little bit stronger than what she did, so she was just a little bit disappointing today.
Jason Collin, The Reverend Demon.
Had every chance. Wasn't able to finish it off.
You have your bold and the beautiful voice on there.
Oh, what happened then? There's got to be an audio issue. That's not me.
You're wearing a strange jacket. You're bowling up to the jockeys.
Talking
Ty England.
Who was that bloke that used to do this? What was his name? Was it Richard Mercer? What was the bloke he was on radio?
Love song, dedication.
Well, have we got any more beat? Oh, yeah, there's more to come. More to come.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Let's get sultry.
Are we off to a break?
I hope
okay.
so.
Okay. We're going to a break. For the moment.
We hope you are currently enjoying the programming, which is simulcast on Sky Thoroughbred Central and Sky Sports Radio. For more information, please visit skyracing.tv and click on the program tab.
After the seven-seat Kia Sorento won two Australia's Best Cars Awards, Cars Guide Car of the Year, and Drive's Best Family SUV, we did a lap of honour. around Australia. Kia Sorento, Australia's best SUV. Let opportunity come to you. Seek Profile. Update your profile today.
Hi, it's Jamie Rogers, and I'm here with another special edition of On the Lounge with the tipsters on their winning ways, Gary Chris, Dominic Byrne, and Tony Brassel. The punting pioneers, they show us the work they do to find a winner for you. We're on the lounge, only on Sky Thoroughbred Central.
We're finding you more winners each week on Form 1 Extra. Join myself and our panel of tipsters.
Now, a lot of these horses have showed a stack of speed in their trial.
I wouldn't deter, you're going to get some decent price.
Find your winner.
Formline Extra, weekdays, immediately after race day.